who is relatively new. The minister did introduce her before. She is the DDG for CET. I am here with Mr. Faisal Tovi, who is the chief director in the office of the DG. I'm here with Ms. Sima Ramnarayan, who is the chief director for communications. I am here with Mr. Reinath Mgiba, who is the acting chief director for strategic planning. And I'm here with Ms. Amelia Pullman, who is in the office of the CFO. Thank you, Chairperson, for earlier on tabling our minister apologies, and also the apologies of Dr. Lewin, and also the apologies of everyone who are engaged elsewhere. Thank you very much for that. I will try very much to share the presentation and try very much to share the screen. May I check that it is visible? Is it visible, Chairperson?
Not yet.
May I ask Mr. Mkiba to assist?
Sharing rights.
May I ask for sharing rights to be given?
E-sharing rights.
Have I been given sharing rights?
Mr. Mgiba is sharing his screen. So, can you try from your device? If you're not succeeding, then Mr. Mgiba will then share from his screen, and you'll then have to follow from there.
All right. Mr. Mgiba, may I ask you to please try from your side?
Is it only one?
Can you see the Chairperson?
We can. I think you're about to put it on slide mode, so we're just waiting for you to do that.
Yes.
There we go.
All right.
So you may take us through the slide, Ms. Gasa.
All
we'll
right.
We'll just have to request them, Giba, to just go to the following slide on your behalf.
All right. Thank you very much. Before I begin, Chairperson, I would like to very much thank you for the opening remarks that you made regarding the challenges that we are facing as the PSET system. We are seized with a moment where, amongst other things, but most specifically, what has happened in terms of gender-based violence and femicide, and specifically what has happened in Forte is what is seizing us at this point in time. And we appreciate the work that we are doing with our agency, Higher Health. And as you would be aware, our minister and our CEO for Higher Health, and together with the VC for Forte, have articulated what we are doing as DHET and as the tripartite, for lack of a better word. We are doing our absolute best to ensure that there is a sustainable effort to ensure that what has happened there does not happen again, and that a requisite support is given to the students there. And I think I speak for all of us if I indicate that it is definitely unacceptable what has happened, and that requisite support is given to not only the family of the deceased student, but that also the whole students and also the community are provided support at this point in time. So with your permission, Chair, and also the members, I will assume that the presentation has been read, and I will try, especially given the time that we've got available, assume that the presentation has been read, but in essence, the outline of the presentation is that we will go through the vision and mission, and I will give a very brief outline of the five-year strategic plan and outcomes of the department, and then we will go through the significant developments during the period under review, and then we will highlight the program performance against the fourth and the first quarter targets, and then I will also ask Ms. Coleman from the office of the CFO to take us through the financial performance. Over to the next slide, please, Mr. Mkiba. So in essence, Chair and honorable members, our vision as the DHET is really to ensure that we've got an integrated and coordinated business system for improved economic participation and social development for youth and adults. Our mission is really to provide strategic leadership to the PSET system through the development of appropriate steering mechanisms. We want to be certain that we provide effective oversight, monitoring and evaluation. We want to provide support services in relation to teaching and learning, and we want to be able to ensure that there is funding of PSET institutions and entities. I want to pause briefly here. Please could you go to the previous slide, Mr. Mkiba? I would like to reiterate what the Minister and the Deputy Minister have indicated in previous presentations to yourself, that we really do find ourselves at a difficult moment where we are between a rock and a hard place, where because of fiscal constraints to the country, we are having to do far more with far less. Next slide, please. Our five-year strategic plan outcomes, which we did table last year, and we indicated to yourself that we needed to revise the strategic plans, are really are fivefold. And in the main, they range between expanded access to PSET opportunities. And here, I'd just like to indicate that what we did mention last year was that part of the reasons why we had to reprioritize was because we needed to ensure that because of our commitment as a country and the need to ensure that there is access primarily to NSFAS, we then needed to reprioritize our budgets, and nowhere throughout the inputs of DHET, and specifically through infrastructure and various input areas, basically we mentioned to yourself that we had to make quite a lot of budgetary cuts, and in essence, this slide gives you an indication of the different strategic outcomes, and in the main, our outcomes range from expanded access and right up until the excellent business operations. Next slide, please. I'd like to reflect on this slide a little bit. And in the main, this is also another slide that we have taken you through. We made the offer last year, and we would like to reiterate this. And we made the offer that we would like, when the time permits, that we come to the portfolio committee and we table the skills development strategy, which is our response as the Department of Higher Education or as the PSET system our response to what government as a whole tabled as an economic reconstruction and recovery plan, which is was our national effort for how we mitigate for what happened last year and before, which is where we realized that the COVID pandemic really made or exacerbated what we all had always known, the nexus really of unemployment, inequality and poverty, and the need for us, especially as the PSET system, to come up with a skills development strategy that would then articulate how we come up with a strategy that would say, how do we come up with a range of interventions that would ensure that we mitigate the impact of COVID. We've made a significant strides in terms of developing the skills development strategy. As we've mentioned before, the minister tabled this skills development strategy at the cabinet Lekgotla, and in the main, during the period under review, we have gone and engaged a range of a number of stakeholders, and the skills development strategy seeks to articulate how as the PSET system we seek to rally the country about how we upskill, how we retrain, how we make sure that what we had long inherited, which was exacerbated by COVID, is mitigated, and we make sure that we retrain, we upskill, and we make sure that what was worse is made better over time. And Chair and Honourable Members, we would like to reiterate the offer to come back and take you through the skills development strategy, which we have made very much good progress, and at this point in time, this skills development strategy is at the point where it is now going to go to cabinet for approval and sign off. Next slide, please. Now what I'm going to take you through are the developments that we have made through the period under review. I will not dwell too much through the developments, Chair and Honourable Members, because the assumption is that you have read through this, so I will just highlight some of the issues. Last year and earlier this year, Chairperson and Honourable Members, we spent quite a lot of time reflecting on the certification backlogs. We are happy to report as a PSET system that we have made quite significant improvements in terms of the eradication of the certification backlog, specifically as a result of the rigorous work undertaken. We are happy to report that 96.04 of certificates have been dispatched to colleges. Certainly, we have not reached 100% that we had committed to you, but I believe I speak for most of us that 96.04.4 is progress indeed. What I would also like to report is that we have also made quite good progress in terms of TVET college lecturers development. Specifically, what I would like to mention is that 109 lecturers, of whom 161 are attached to public TVET colleges, have graduated from the NMU with advanced diplomas in technical and vocational teaching on 19 December 2020, and we have also made progress in terms of lecturers who were previously professionally unqualified, and a range of them have registered with quite a number of institutions as reflected there. Next slide, please. We have also made a quite significant progress regarding the number of lecturers who were previously also not holding qualifications. And what I'd like to highlight in this specific slide is the number of memoranda of agreements that we have signed specifically within the built industry to train 270 lecturers specifically within the civil construction related programs. I'd also like to highlight the MOA that we have signed with the Chinese Culture and International Education Exchange. We have also made progress in terms of the e-commerce space. We have also made progress in terms of a strides regarding the postgraduate diploma in TVET educational leadership programs. Next slide, please. We have also made quite significant progress in terms of the College Infrastructure Efficiency Grant, the SIG program. The chairperson and also honorable members will remember that in the past we had made we had been quite honest about the challenges we were having in this regard. The minister mentioned this in the SONA. We have made progress in terms of the SIP. The project has delivered 6 out of 13 sites, which are now occupied by beneficiary progress, and we anticipate that 5 sites will be delivered within the 5 within this year, and we are hoping that we can report even more progress within the first quarter of the 22 academic year. I will report even more progress in this space regarding the university infrastructure efficiency grant at the later stage. What I'd also like to report here as well is the extent to which we've made progress regarding integrating digital skills and knowledge into current programs. Specifically, what I'd like to highlight is the extent to which we have partnered with institutions like Cisco and Huawei to support the updating of the curriculum to align industry demands in the digital skills area. The partnerships that we have entered into seek to provide supplementary content on digital skills to the TVET communities, and we provide specific numbers in the regard. Next slide. We provide examples in that regard, chairperson, and because of time, I will not go into that because there's an elaboration of that. Here, what I'd like to highlight is the extent to which we have sought as the PSET system to introduce new programs in response to what is a national priority for us, the fourth industrial revolution. And what we have done as a department is developing a new stream focusing on robotics in the NCV, and specifically it's around information technology and computer science programs, which previously focused on programming and system development only. The curriculum for this program is currently being quality assured by Umalusi as our partner and is envisaged for implementation in 2022. Colleagues and specifically our portfolio committee will know that in the quarters or the period under review, we have made quite a lot of communication regarding engineering programs. And so during the periods under review, we have made quite a lot of progress in terms of reconstruction of engineering programs to make them more responsive to the changing industry environment. And specifically, we've been collaborating with the quality councils for trades and co-occupations in reconstructing the curricula of the engineering studies. And this has been across the different areas of both electrical engineering, electronics engineering, mechanical engineering, and civil engineering. Next slide, please. In terms of centers for specialization, a groundbreaking skills development initiative that aligns to and supports the artisanal skills of industry and economy at large is something we would like to really have our portfolio committee be appraised of. 6 TVET colleges have been accredited to be trade test centers for occupational qualifications. 770 apprentices in training will be undergoing a trade test in 2022. 500 apprentices are doing their first year linked to employers. We've been doing a lot of work with NEDLAC. We've been signing memoranda of understanding with Japanese governments. We've been moving and making a lot of space around the automotive master plans, and we are currently in discussions with the Tresano Construction Fund under the Industrial Development Corporation for the funding of construction development programs and trade center equipment at TVET colleges. Next slide, please. In terms of the university sector, we have made quite a lot of strides as well. What I would really like to highlight, not to say that the other spaces are not important, I would like to highlight the following. Given the work that we reported last year, directives have been published to support the 2021 academic year in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic year. We reported, Chairperson and Portfolio Committee members, last year the work we were doing to ensure that we minimize the impact of COVID in the university space. The Minister and the Deputy Minister spoke last year about the work that we were needing to do around the policy review of student funding policy, including in the TVET sector, and we are working hard in this regard. The report by the NSFAS Ministerial Committee of Inquiry has been completed and has been submitted to the minister. Colleagues are aware that a report has just recently been tabled to cabinet regarding the challenges pertaining to the PSET system and following the HEFA challenges and how over time we are needing to ensure that we take forward how we ensure that there is a sustainable response towards us realizing that we realize what I spoke about earlier on, this need of a sustainable response of ensuring that really we increase access to PSET financing by the country. We have also over the past month or so, as you are aware, the minister indicated about a couple of months ago that the planning branch that I'm responsible for, assisted by the university branch, and this I will be doing the same with the TVET branch. We have just concluded a process whereby we have sat with all of the universities, engaging with them on their applications for financing or applications of their financing for the infrastructure efficiency grant. We did inform yourselves as honorable members that due to the challenges regarding the NSFAS grant, we are now sitting with only a 4.4 billion over the MTF, but notwithstanding that, over a month we've sat with universities and we reflected with them on how we would look at how we can still look at an efficient and effective way of how they apply for infrastructure, and including a student accommodation, and we also impressed upon them ways in which they would then be considered in the way in which they monitor and evaluate how they spend funding, and we believe that this will assist in the way in which they help us realize the outcome that we've committed ourselves to as a country of skilling the nation and ensuring that infrastructure helps us realize this vision we have of ensuring that we create an enabling environment for students to be taught and learn in a way that realizes that going forward we will have an enabling environment of both ensuring that we realize that with COVID we combine both contact learning but also online learning in a safe environment, but that also helps us going forward to ensure that students are both entrepreneurial and also create jobs. And next slide, please. For the CET college sector, what I would like to highlight is the extent to which in the fourth quarter we invested 10.8 million in addition to the 8.9 plus million from the HW sector into a partnership with Higher Health to build health and wellness sector and wellness infrastructure in CET colleges. While at inception, the project prioritizes compliance to the COVID-19 regulations with screening in particular. As you are all aware, our relationship with health, Higher Health is not only about COVID, it is about mental health, it is also about gender-based violence and also a femicide. And secondly, the project is meant to address issues related to mental health, as I've just mentioned, gender-based violence, HIV, TB, and STI. The project is funded until November 2023. The department has consolidated the provision of the SINA certificate through entering into intergovernmental protocols with the Department of Basic Education and the provision of the second chance matric program. The intervention will enable the expansion of the program and provision of appropriate curriculum resources and for out-of-school youth and adults. Next slide, please. This slide really is very much also about the extent to which funding has been secured to appoint a service provider to develop a sustainable funding model for CET colleges. In terms of our planning for work going forward, we are wanting to invest even further in terms of our work within the CET colleges, and you know that this is a partnership between us and DBE. Standard operating procedures on the accreditation of skills programs and introduction of new programs have been developed in anticipation of the implementation of skills programs, which is work we're doing with our Quality Council for Trades and Occupations, and this is work we're proud of. The department is part of introducing entrepreneurship programs in CET colleges has entered into MOAs with a small development agency through partnerships. Next slide, please. Now, what I'm going to do, with your permission, Chairperson, and I'll move a little bit quicker, is to then take you through the overall performance against the fourth quarter and the first quarter targets. In the main, for quarter four, there were 81 targets for quarter four of 2020 and 2021. Essentially, 72%, and in numerical terms, 58 of these targets have been achieved for quarter four, and then for quarter one of 2021-2022, there were 12 targets for the first quarter of 2021 and 2022, and for that period, we achieved 67%, and numerically 8% of these targets were achieved. Next slide, please. I must apologize. Perhaps the font is a little bit small, and I apologize for honorable members if the slides are a little bit small and maybe are not as clear as they should be. What I would like, with your permission, Chair, and especially because of time, and it is not to discourage myself and my colleagues, and it's just to observe time, I will just mention perhaps one of the areas where we have succeeded, but perhaps dwell a little bit more on areas where we have not succeeded, because I believe when we come here, it is more about us seeking guidance and for yourselves to hold us accountable and point out areas where we can improve in the future. We have made progress just as number one in terms of demand and procurement plan for 2021 and 2022, and so it is a target that we have achieved. Unfortunately, for this slide, we did not so much achieve in terms of item number four, in terms of percentage of disciplinary cases, and the reasons are provided there for why we did not achieve there. In the main, there are issues around a withdrawal of cases there, and then in terms of four and the percentage of investigations, we also did not achieve there, and the reasons provided are that there were no cases received, and then for six, the percentage of valid invoices, we also did not perform so well there, and it is a matter that we would like to be engaged on by yourself, and primarily in the main, we do indicate that the COVID pandemic may have had a contribution there. Next slide, please. In the main for program two, we primarily performed well in that slide. It's not because it is a program that I am responsible for, but perhaps what I would like to highlight there is something that perhaps we are really I'm not sure that chair is smiling. The chair is smiling there, but we are really happy there around progress we have made around the occupations of high demands, and the minister has made a quite critical point there around what that means for the skilling of the nation and what that means, and also the PSET monitoring system. And we are also very proud of progress we've made there in terms of making early steps in terms of infrastructure, and we do believe that we still need to make more strides, and in our next report we would like to tell you some more around what we are trying to do in that regard. Next slide, please. We have not made good progress here in terms of our engagements with agreements with other countries regarding scholarships, and we have highlighted the specific country where there were challenges. It is Hungary in particular, and we've also indicated that in terms of the integrated planning for the PSET system, we did not make good progress. And the priority skills plan, we also didn't. Where we provide reasons for deviation, we might not have made progress in a particular period. Sometimes in certain areas where we've not made progress, it is not excuse, honorable members, but within a particular progress, sometimes we did not meet a particular target, but within the next area, we then indicate where we have. But I must be honest, in sum, we did not still make in the next progress. Next slide, please. For program three, for my colleague, Dr. Lewin, good progress has been made, especially for input initiatives, where it really is around capacitating academics, the end gaps, the ensuring that, you know, we have programs around entrepreneurships, the university capacity development programs, which are all critical, but which I must say, honorable members, these are programs which have been affected by the reprioritization, as I mentioned earlier on. Progress has been made, but I must raise the point that because of the reprioritization that's happened, in future these input programs that are critical for success in the PSET system, the impact on the reprioritization will be felt over time, and I would be failing in my duty if I do not highlight that. The next slide, please. Here, once again, a university education branch, the program, good progress has been made, and perhaps what I must highlight is number 18, where 6 public universities and 9 TVET colleges did not make good progress in terms of utilizing the central application system, and only 2 did not make good progress. So only two did make good progress, SMU and UL, and that is good. That is a great cause for concern, because honorable members, I know, will hold us to account for this, because we all know what normally happens when the new year starts, and you know, there's an influx, students get frustrated, and we see things we really don't want to see. Next slide, please. In terms of program four, I still want to really highlight the progress that's been made regarding the certification backlogs here. I really think it's good progress that must be really highlighted, and especially because honorable members called us to task here, and there were really big concerns by students, and it really was a great cause for concern, and our colleagues must, my colleagues must be commended for this. Next slide, please. Here, there are serious challenges that were not, targets that were not achieved. For example, a comprehensive proposal for the expansion of the TVET College was not met. The challenge primarily was that the memorandum of agreement between the department and the African Development Bank was not signed by both countries, by both parties, and the draft governance standards and regulation for TVET College councils we had intended for this to be approved by the Directors General, and this was also not meant. We provide the reason for it. We indicate that the state legal advisors advised that the draft governance standards could not be promulgated as a regulation. It could not be developed as a voluntary document. Next slide, please. Unfortunately, here this whole slide is full of a lot of targets that are not achieved. It's matters around guidelines for the placement of students in the workplace, and it is a matter that honorable members have been really alerting us to. And in the main, primarily, this was due to disruptions caused by COVID-19. The draft regulations to ensure the conduct of credible examinations was not approved by the ministers, and here we were advised, particularly by the CET, by the state law advisors. The strategy in terms of building the capacity of TVET College lecturers was also not approved by the DG. The issue and the timely completion of this was also not met. And the five new or revised subject curricula was also not met. And the issue here pertains to the extent to which we did not meet our target as the department. The next slide, I must indicate that for my colleague, DG Mvalo, the targets were met here around the sector skills plan. Chairperson and honorable members know that in the main, this is work that we also do in support with colleagues from the DTIC colleagues. It's a shared initiative, and it's also very critical. We met most of the targets here, and we give an indication of when we met them, and so it is commendable. And we give an indication of when we met them and by what time, and the exact numbers that we met them by and with which CETAs. The next slide, please. And then unfortunately this slide is around which ones did we not meet. And unfortunately we did not meet the target of 20,000 learners entering artisanal programs, the 100,000 learners or students placed in workplace-based learning programs were not met, the 146 was really not met, and the numbers are really significantly low. I know that when we last came, honorable members did caution us about being very careful not to use COVID as an excuse. But in some instances, honorable members, we really did, thank you, Chairperson, we really, employers could not take in the learners because sitters could not issue calls as expected because of the restrictions placed by COVID-19. You will recall that we also raised issues around even having to put in issues around the employment holiday, because primarily the economy and the productive sectors of the economy were shut down. Let me maybe move a little bit quicker because I have to allow my colleague from the CFO's office to come in. Next slide, please, Mr. Mgiba. Primarily, the CET colleagues performed quite well here, and so primarily I will not dwell here because the targets were achieved. And if I may ask Mr. Mgiba to move to the next slide and speak to the ones where we did not perform. A digital skills program in CET colleges approved was not met, and we indicate that the impact of COVID-19 was delayed. The introduction of the program was not met. However, following discussions with the MICT CETA, the program was eventually approved. An entrepreneurship program in CET colleges was meant to have been approved, but we could not do that because of the of COVID. The next slide, please. There are quite a lot of targets that were not met here. My concern is that I do not want Ms. Pullman to have so little time, Chair, and I want to just reflect on the reasons why we could not meet the targets, and in the main, even there, some of them are due to COVID challenges, but I am mindful of time, and I want to apologize to DDG CET for robbing her of time. Next slide, please, Mr. Mgiba. And then in terms of Program 1 for 2021-2022, the valid invoices, we missed the target marginally by 1%. The next slide, Mr. Mgiba. I want to share with you to
Thank you. If we look at the spending per economic classification for the year, South Uganda and to Kuma and to Tanya Collector for the presentation that you have brought forward before the committee this morning. This does really like to encourage members to start raising their hands to engage on the presentation we just received or the meeting we just received. And I'd really like to encourage all members of the portfolio committee to participate. I really miss the voice of Honorable Bosho. I wish I knew how to say this in Afrikaans. I'm going to say,
prior, and I trust that members did go through. We highlighted in this engagement is what exactly are the hurdles bearing us or barring us from reaching 100% completion of the certification backlog, that's reaching day zero. So this is an indication of what hurdles we're currently facing. That will be on slide 6. On slide 6 still, with regards to the training of TVET lecturers, what's our analysis of the output of this training program? I mean, it's good and well to train educators the same way we may speak about, you know, how we acknowledge and embrace when we speak about more policemen being trained, more nurses being trained, but in terms of the output of that, sometimes it just feels like the input of the training and the output in terms of the results that we seek to see in these sectors, there's no sort of direct correlation, right? So in our training of the TVET lecturers, have we been able to identify yet a favorable output and favorable results thereof? And then in the actual training, are there considerations of the COVID reality in the teaching and learning experience, is that being factored in? So are we training without a consideration of the fact that we now exist in a COVID world? And we don't know, I mean, the nation rollout program has been accelerated greatly, but, you know, we don't know when exactly we'll go into, if we'll ever go into the sort of teaching and learning experience that we had prior to COVID-19. So are the current challenges and realities of COVID-19 being factored into the training of the TVET lecturers as of now? Also, I think as we continue to train these lecturers, we must monitor the correlation between the training, which is, I guess, harnessing the skills of the lecturers and the grades or performance of students thereof, right? So that particular match, we need to continue to monitor that. With regards to the, perhaps let me skip slide 8, I'll get back to it now. Slide 12, I think it says directions have been published to support the 2021 academic year in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic. And I don't know if you're able to share perhaps what the key highlights of those directions are, maybe if you're able to send that document, because we might not have sufficient time to go through it. So the directions that have been published to support the 2021 academic year, if those can be shared with the portfolio committee, it would be interesting to go through those. And then it speaks about a monitor on that slide as well. We speak to a monitoring tool. Can perhaps you briefly highlight what that monitoring tool looks into? And then we speak about an urgent policy review of student funding of student funding policy, including the TVET sector. Would that review include ensuring equality and equity between the two programs, being the university program and the TVET program, particularly when it speaks to, for example, the NASFA stipend and other resources and realities within the space? I mean, if you even look at the budget of the university program and the budget of the TVET program, I mean, the disparities between the two are extremely grave, yet we seek to achieve so much with the TVET program. We speak about wanting to achieve so much with the TVET program. The same slide 12, speak about in-depth student reflection on accommodation. I don't know if it's been, I think, in a meeting where I think Tandy was in, or Ms. Lewin was in, we spoke about an analysis of student accommodation in light of COVID-19 and how that looks like. Is there greater reliance? Is there lesser reliance? You know, looking into factors of the fact that students can't share a single unit anymore in case someone has to self-isolate and those sort of demands. So post-COVID-19, how could the student accommodation space look like? And I don't know if that in-depth student reflection on accommodation also speaks to the impact of COVID-19 on student accommodation as a concern in the sector at large. I hope I'm making sense there. Slide 16, it speaks about disciplinary case targets, and I think I'd like to find out why the presiding officers withdrew themselves, and then perhaps also understand whether or not there was no performance agreement with timeframes between the department and the presiding officers to ensure that they are committed to the processes. Also, whether there was monitoring by the responsible unit or the unit responsible for those disciplinary cases to ensure that the presiding officers deliver the reports and outcomes of the hearing on time. And then I would like to, remaining on slide 16, I'd like to understand when it speaks to irregular expenditure or the investigation target of irregular expenditure. It says no cases were received by the department's internal audit unit for the investigation. What I'd like to understand is that, so if no cases were received, is that because there were no cases, or is it because cases weren't brought before the department's internal audit unit? So I'd like clarity on that. And then we must emphasize the fact that creditors must be paid on time and perhaps understand why staff, you know, doesn't have sufficient support for them to continue work. And I think we must also note that the COVID-19 pandemic was in the country 9 months before the 2020-2021 fourth quarter, which would be the period between January to March 2021. So I think what we want to understand is why the department did not make available, you know, resources for the staff to continue to work remotely, and essentially who would be held responsible for not providing tools of trade to staff to be able to work remotely, and what has been done to rectify this to ensure that such does not occur or reoccur in this financial year. And I think, you know, perhaps like beyond asking those questions, we must make it very clear that creditors must be paid on time, particularly in such difficult times like COVID. I think service providers, if it is service providers, are working, COVID-19 has really put everyone in a difficult position, and so we can't allow for, you know, if it is service providers, for them not to be paid on time. On slide 17, in relation to the Integrated Infrastructure Development Support Program, have we, and I guess the clarity then that one then needs is a bit multifaceted, is that according to page 56 of the SCORE report, the transfer of 179 million for TVET infrastructure was not made as the Minister of Higher Education, Science and Innovation first wants the department's infrastructure oversight unit, which I assume is the double IDSP, the Integrated Infrastructure Development Support Program. So I'm assuming that this infrastructure oversight unit is then the IIDSP. So the minister first wants that oversight unit to be established before the TVET infrastructure payment can resume. And that the unit was expected to be established by the 31st of July 2021. So I'd like to understand that, like, if you can provide clarity with regards that this infrastructure oversight unit is the support program for infrastructure, and whether or not we've been able to begin then with the implementation of this program of the double IDSP, so that we can continue with the rollout of what is mentioned on page 8 of the College Infrastructure Efficiency Grant, because as far as we're concerned, there are some projects that were held back because of the hindrances of COVID-19 last year when during the initial first hard lockdown. And I think plans are being made to ensure that coming out of the hard lockdown, we could then start to commence again with those projects, particularly focusing on TVET infrastructure. And so, you know, how far are we with that? Are we able to meet the targets that we had perhaps set coming out of the hard lockdown, noting the shift that we would have had to make thereof? Or will we be waiting for the infrastructure unit, support units, the support unit, the oversight unit, to first do its work before we then commence with the actual implementation of these projects? I think I'd like just clarity on that. And then I'm really trying my best to wrap up. Honourable members, I apologize for taking so long. On slide 18, we speak about a strategy for expanding online learning in PSET through an educational network, which was approved by the Minister on the 30th of March 2021. What does that really look like, that online learning, expanding online learning, you know, through an educational network? What exactly does that look like? And perhaps greater elaboration, if you can just send, you know, a text that speaks particularly to that, it would be great for us to imagine it, you know. And if this directly speaks to responding to COVID-19 or has been propelled by COVID-19, because I think the move towards online and expanding education or access to higher education through online platforms has been in conversation for a long time, but I think, you know, it's been propelled, of course, by COVID-19. And do we have capacity to do this in terms of our information and communication technologies? And then just clarity on something, does the priority skills plan now become, I think the clarity I want is still on slide 18, does the priority skills plan now become the skill strategy for the double ERP, or do we keep both, are those two different plans, and will they remain separately but work in correlation, or does the one fall off? With regards to the Imbali precinct, does this include the new location, and when would implementation begin if this speaks to the new location, which I think is in Limpopo? And then what's our analysis in terms of the central application system and the results thereof, the outcome thereof, you know, through the piloting that we've been doing. And then there's a plan for the establishment of entrepreneurship hubs in TVET colleges approved by the Director General. I think coming out of these recent unrest in KZN and in Gauteng, there has been a lot of reflection regarding Black-owned businesses. I think as people are, I mean, no one supports the destruction that was done, but I think the destruction has sort of called for a restart button or reflection, introspection, and that type of conversation to say, okay, as we rebuild these malls, as we rebuild these shopping centers, how do we then look into the inclusion? How do we do it better, right? And therefore including young people, including Black women, young Black women, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, you know, programs of this nature, like this, these entrepreneurship hubs could really begin to harness young people with the skills to be able to participate in the economy in this particular way, then being the ones who are owning shops in these malls and so I think one really would like to interested in knowing when this will then be placed into implementation. On slide 23, we speak about timely completion of this target was hindered by the lack of staff capacity in the directorate regarding the lecture development and support. Why were there not enough support? Staff support. I think that's one thing we'd like to understand. And how can we, what efforts or plans have been put in place to ensure that there is sufficient staff support? And then regarding Target 18 on slide 23, I just want to say that we must plan better with regards to that. Slide 27, it speaks to a digital skills program in CET colleges that has been approved. I think that it's actually emphasized the fact that it's now more than ever during COVID-19 that this particular digital skills program is needed and must be implemented. And I think generally one must just show concern looking at the two reports of the fourth and first quarter. One just genuinely wants to show concern with regards to the skills and CET programs. And then looking at the fourth quarter of 2020-2021, just analyzing performance percentage between the university program and the TVET program, I think it's very important, as I said earlier, that we must lessen these margins. I think the percentage, performance percentage is just, the variance between the two is just way too large. And then, of course, one would like to have clarity regarding vacant posts in the department. I see unfortunately, there's no political leadership in the meeting. I think some members may be interested to find out the developments of the ending of DG Gonde's term going into appointing a new DG and that sort of process and the developments with regards to that. But unfortunately, I think there's no political leadership in the meeting, so I think colleagues may be a bit limited with regards to that. And then, of course, if we can just find out if there's been any, you know, sort of communique between ourselves and if we possibly have students in Afghanistan and South Africa. Don't know if there's been any communication between ourselves and those students, if there are any of those students, and if just to find out if they're okay, have they been evacuated and brought back into the country, South Africa, or anything like that. And I think also just it would have been interesting to also find out about the vaccination rollout program in higher education. And just to get a reflection, I mean, I don't think our institutions have been by and large affected by the recent unrest in KZN and Gauteng, but if there have been any setbacks, I don't know, maybe with regards to the delivery of laptops of networks, maybe, but we haven't heard of anything, but it would have just been, you know, interesting to find out. But also to just see if there are any reflections with regards to the contributions that this particular department could make in rebuilding, these spaces that were affected by the unrest. And I think very similar to what I said in relation to DSI, is, for example, you know, TVET, students in the TVET program or in the CETAs, and, you know, some of the in-service training that they could do while they assist in rebuilding some of these malls or shopping centers or spaces that may have been largely disrupted by the recent unrest. So I think on my side, really, those are my remarks for now, and I think I've seen members, or, you know, Honorable Bush's hand is even up, so I'll just hand over to Honorable Mananiso, Honorable Lizie, Honorable Sibiya, and then Honorable Bush. Thank you so much, Honorable Mananiso. You can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me start by welcoming the report. Indeed, I must say in some areas it is interesting that we're seeing relevant skills programs that are coming into the business sector, and I'm happy that there's a commitment in terms of entrepreneurial skills for job creators, and as well the issue of for IR into the mainstreaming of the PSET sector as well. It's welcomed because you have said it and emphasized on the issue how it is important that today we use the digital space to advance our work. So I'm very happy about this presentation, and I have some other issues being covered by you, like issues of certification backlog and issues of the college's infrastructure. One must say that, I mean, this is one of the issues that Honorable Lizie likes to ask about, to say that it is not right that we forever hear that we still, you know, back-footed in terms of using the money for development of TVET. So I just want to say that the department must do more in terms of ensuring that they do what they have to do for using the grants. The other issue, Chair, is that I want to check, because we can see there's a significant increase in targets from 60 to 89. What are the reasons? Will the department be able to execute its mandate with the additional targets, especially with a revised budget due to COVID-19 pandemic? And the other one is with regard to the page 23 of the revised APP highlights the impact of COVID-19 on the programs. How will the department recover from the impact? Is there a recovery plan which includes time frame? What are the reasons for the additional sub-program, regional offices for program for TVET? And I just want to check as well with regards to the vacancies, to say which vacancies will they be occupying and which ones will they be not occupying, and what are the reasons thereof. And again, Chair, on the issues of on page 2 of the APP, it states that the department will be guided by the policy framework to address gender-based violence in institutions, which will be introduced soon. Does this reflect as a target in the APP? When is it anticipated to be introduced? Is the policy on GBV finalized, and is it budgeted for? How will it be funded? If so, which line it covers the implementation of the GBVF policy? The other one question, Chairperson, is one of the things that I forgot to do is to actually welcome the appointment of the new DDG for the CET program, especially that a woman has been appointed. The program did not have a substantial DDG since its establishment. So this one, we cannot just close our eyes. We can't see that at least there's some transformation indication. The other question that I want to ask is on issues of percentage of people who are vaccinated in the department. If they have, can they provide that particular statistic report in to the Secretariat Committee? And the other issue, Chair, is with regards to the department has not reported in its 2020-21 fourth quarter MTSF system targets in relation to the enrollment in universities and TVET and CET colleges, number of students receiving NSFAS funding, number of graduates in different programs, school out rates, to mention but a few. We would like to know the funds appropriated to universities, colleges, achieved what? If there are no reports, this lack of reporting impedes the committee from monitoring progress towards the achievement of the 2019-2024 MTSF priorities. We should be aware that the bulk of the budget of the department is apportioned to the PSET institutions, and it is concerning that they cannot say we have achieved these targets with the allocated funds. A detailed report on performance on the system target should be sent to the committee. Chairperson, again, one would say that I'm covered on some other inputs that we have made. However, one would want to check on slide 10, they are speaking about computer science and integrating digital skills knowledge. So I want to check what is the involvement of CSIR in this particular program. And on the issue of slide 12, one would want to emphasize, as you have said, that it's very worrying on the report. I want to say to them, on issues that have been stipulated on slide 12, they need to fast track the implementation process of ensuring that they deal with those issues. Slide 13, CET partnership with higher health and priority programs that are designed. I'm very happy, Chairperson, because of now on this one, we can see that the sense that you cannot speak about higher education without inclusion of basic education. On slide 16, Chair Program 1, target 5 column on the target achieved and reasons for deviation, it's very confusing. I think there, Chairperson, because of there's an indication that internally there's no report of any case that has been reported. They just need to write as it is to say no case has been reported, rather than saying that target not met. Yet there's nothing that has came in terms of those particular cases, so they just need to fix that report on that part. Because for me, if there's nothing wrong that can be reported, it's 0-0, and the target has been achieved. That at least it shows that there's some consequence management, and people are conscious of wrongdoing and rightdoing. So they just need to check the wording there. On slide 26, program 6, advocacy strategy for CET colleges be shared to the committee, because I think this is one of the items that we propose as the PC, that the department needs to focus on it so that, that we realize the dream of making sure that CET are getting attention as universities and TVET. So I just want them to share with us that particular strategy through the PC secretary. And Chairperson, I'm very worried about the inconsistency of the reporting. I've noted that on the format, the report has program, quota target, achievement, reason for deviation. As you follow the presentation in some of the programs, it doesn't go as it is. So as I was reading it, I nearly lost pace in terms of actually what is it that is happening. So I just want to emphasize that when they report, they must be consistent from program one to the last program, so that we find signage as well as we do our oversight and monitoring. Lastly, Chairperson, is on status to communicate with members via the secretary on opportunities that are advertised, because you would know, as members of parliament sitting in this particular portfolio committee, when there's an advert for any CETA program or development, we would be asked by our constituencies to say, do you know of this member and what that, and so unfair that we cannot answer to say it's true or what, you know, I'm still going to verify. So I just want to emphasize we must improve the communication as stakeholders in this particular sector for all opportunities that are there so that we can be able to trace if our people on the ground, they are actually getting these opportunities and fully utilizing them to better themselves. I thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mananiso. Honorable Itiye.
Thank you very much, Chair. Because it's a Women's Month, I will not emulate the example of yourself and Honorable Mananiso in taking too long. Just a few questions, and I think some of them you guys have covered me. I think let's welcome the presentation from the department, progress made there. The appointment, the first time we have an appointment of a DG responsible for CT. I think I agree with Honorable Manani, so we can't turn a blind eye on that. That is progressive good news. One, I think, Chair, we need to get from the department a comprehensive report on financial health of all universities. I know it was produced. Maybe let's get that report, and you know that will give us a an indication of what is the financial position of all universities, and if possible, maybe do the same, the financial health of all TVET colleges and the financial health of all CTAS. Maybe let's get that those reports from the department. So it means each a branch of the university must assist us in getting a comprehensive financial report of all universities, TVET college, and CTAS. And then on the universities, given the COVID-19 pandemic, which universities generated income through the third stream income? you know, I'm asking this, Chair, I know it's not part of their presentation, but I'm asking this because I think we need to understand, I know later on in the program are going to deal with that, but we need to understand the financial health of these institutions, you know, HDIs and former Afrikaner or white institutions out, you know, so they must just give us a comprehensive one so that we are able to see where there are challenges and we move on from there. Now there was a the department on program one at a target of resolving cases within 90 days. And obviously this was not achieved. The department is citing the withdrawal of presiding officers from proceedings and delays by them in issuing the findings and outcome reports and the delays of certain matters due to lockdown. So they are just generalizing the whole you know, giving us a whole lot of reasons for not achieving this one. Now, and I think they are just too general. I think the department should then disaggregate the number of cases per reason cited. So if it's a presiding officer's delaying in issuing, they must say which ones. If it's lockdown, they must say which cases, you know, and all of that. So they must just give us a table with that so that we're able to see what are the issues. And for those who presiding officers withdrew, they must also give reasons why did they withdraw from these cases. if there was no performance agreement signed with these presiding officers with clear time frames to make sure that everybody else was committed to the process. There was whether there was no monitoring by the responsible unit to ensure that these presiding officers deliver their own reports and outcomes of the hearing timelessly. On irregular expenditure, please confirm if there was none incurred in the previous first quarter and now in the first quarter, in the previous quarters of 2021 financial year. If yes, if there was, how much and what cost it? How much was incurred as irregular expenditure in the first, second and third quarters? Has the department concluded investigations on irregular expenditure incurred in the previous financial year? If so, what were the consequences against those who were responsible? If not, what caused the delays and what mitigating strategies are in place to expedite the investigations, and what are the mitigating strategies to ensure that we don't have such in the following financial years. And unpaid, and this will be the last action, unpaid invoices. Of the 3% invoices that you guys say were not paid within 30 days period, you are citing the following as the reason. On slide 16, a lack of resources to facilitate remote performance by staff from their homes because of COVID. COVID-19 pandemic was in the country 9 months before the 2020-2021 fourth quarter, which is January to March this year. Why did the department not make resources available for staff to work remotely? Why should or who should be held responsible for not providing tools of trade to staff to be able to work remotely? What has been done to rectify this to ensure that such does not recur in this financial year? Like I said, Chairperson, this is Women's Month, and I do not want to emulate what you and Honorable Mananiso would have done. And I note the comment that my consciousness is noted. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable UK. Honorable Celia.
Thanks, Chairperson. Thanks for his presentation. Some questions are covered, but under expenditure, program 2 and 3 were not the targets set for the first quarter, and we would like to get the reasons for no targets against the against budget spent. The other one on page 56 of the Standing Committee on Appropriation, it states that spending is lower than projected by 1.2 billion. And how many universities did not comply? And which are those universities? And how is the department dealing with the matter? I think it's that for now. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank
you, Honorable Chair. I just have three things that I would like to refer to. The one is that I wanted that if I'm not mistaken, we have not had any kind of explanation or notice being given by the minister or even by the deputy minister around the sacking of the DG. And I would think that as a portfolio committee, that should be the proper thing to do. first part of the presentation, which was about notable, what was it exactly called, notable things with significant developments under during the period under review. What I would like to know about that is we had been informed at the previous meeting that the DBET part wants to close down the Northern Cape Rural DBET College with campuses in Katoo, Kudumon, Uppington, Springbok and Dapar. I think if it's still going to close, then it is a notable development, and if there's some reason to think that it's not going to close, then it's also a notable development. It might be a little bit of distant communities, but for those people in those communities who have that is one of the only ways to get out of poverty, it is in fact a disaster. So I would just want to know if there are any new developments, what should we expect, and what message can we give to our constituencies. Thank you very much, Jen.
Thank you very much, Honourable Boshoff, and to Honourable Members. I think those are all the questions. I think, Honourable Boshoff, just on the question with regards to being brought into confidence with regards to the stability of the Office of the Director General, I think if Minister was not attending to SCOPA this morning, I think he would have been here. I think that was the intention. So we will continue through the Office of the Secretariat to ensure that to try our best to ensure that the political leadership of the department can avail itself to make sure they can put us as the portfolio committee into confidence with regard to matters relating to that. Otherwise, I think all the other questions, Honourable, Didi Gasa, I think your team and your collective, you can begin to respond. Thank you so much. Honourable Gasa, I don't know, you look frozen to on my side. Okay, yes. There you go.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Am I audible? For once there, Chairperson, you seemed frozen. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible.
All right. May I express my humblest appreciation for the very comprehensive guidance and the questions that have been given to us. And may I take the opportunity to please guide the team that I'm leading today in terms of how we will address the questions, and I will ask my colleagues to be very brief in terms of responding to the questions. Would that be all right, Chairperson and Honourable Members?
That's okay, Ms. Gasa. Thank you.
All right. And before I say so, Chairperson, the Minister and the Deputy Minister did not direct me to do this, and so let me apologize upfront for saying this. In my previous life, because this is probably the fourth department that I am working for, I am hoping that when we are done, hopefully, with COVID, because I'm optimistic that one day we will really cover this COVID, that one day we will have the opportunity in your busy schedule, Honourable Members, we will have a two-day session, a strategic planning session, where we will take you through the work that we do and table it and be guided by yourself and table each one of us as DDGs and by the DG, and the Minister will guide us and the Deputy Minister and have very robust conversation conversations, because I, for one, have found the discussions that we have had today very useful. In the previous departments I've worked in, I have found strategic planning sessions with portfolio committees very, very useful. So having said that, please may I then ask for the opportunity to then guide my colleagues for how we will then respond to the questions that have been raised. And then if I may, I will ask them to respond, and then I will then be the last to wrap up, if that's okay. We have about, I took notes, I think we have about 60 questions, and I know from the chairperson and from the portfolio committee members, we have been guided that some of the questions that have been raised, we could respond to them in writing. In the main, if I may, perhaps let me start with asking for DDG. Maybe let me shift a little bit. With asking for DDG Zungu, if you don't mind, Gwabini, to respond to questions related to TVET, colleges. If I may ask you to do that, there were a couple of them that were raised. And then if I may, I then ask for DDG, DDG Mvalo to respond to some that were related to you, that were pertaining to skills, and then if I may ask DDG CET to respond to some, and then ask DDG CET to respond to those that were related to yourself. And then if I may ask DDG Patel, I know that you are not a part of DHET, but yourself and myself have been working quite closely with DDG Skills in work pertaining to the skills development strategy. I think there were very pertinent questions raised regarding how the two departments were working together in terms of the interface between skills development strategy and the interface between the two departments and the interface. And please, if we could, colleagues, link not only skills development strategy, but also the link between the decadal plan. I will try to respond to the questions that are related to DDG Lewin, and I will also respond specifically to the questions relating to infrastructure. And then lastly, if I may also ask Fraser to respond together with DDG Mbobo regarding to issues pertaining to vacancies. And then if there are still questions that I feel have not been responded to, I will wrap up. I hope, colleagues, we took notes of the list in which I mentioned our names. I hope that's all right, Chairperson, in that order. I hope that's okay.
That's an order, DDG Gaza.
All right.
So we will try and conclude by 2 o'clock.
All right.
I think that should be sufficient time. There is one question I have, but I think I'll roll it in a bit later. Thank you.
All right. And I'm sorry, Chairperson, I would also like for my chief director, Mr. Mgiba, to also come in regarding the very pertinent question you asked regarding the online work and the MTT, and then I will wrap up again. I hope my colleagues took the list in the order, but if we have not answered, please call us to order, madam. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Gaza.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, DDG Gaza. Let me just try and respond on the issues relating to the TVET, and let me greet all the honourable members and honourable chair and my colleagues that are part of the meeting. The first question, honourable chair, that you raised is around and also raised by honourable Mananiso in terms of the certification backlog and what is it that is holding us back in terms of reaching what you termed as day zero. Honourable Chair, I think there has been significant strides that we have made in addressing this matter, but the issues that are now holding us back also relate to the issue of record keeping, because some of these are going as back as 1992 to try and deal with this backlog. So in some instances, you'll find that we have limitations in terms of getting such information, but it is something that we are working towards in addressing. But hopefully, we will be able to reach the day zero with the effort that we've put. There was also, Chair, the issue of the system in terms of the certification, which is a new system that we have migrated into, that also created the issues of us not being able to extract all the necessary data for us to be able to process those certificates. But it's a matter that we are also addressing, Chair, and we should be able to reach those targets. I think the other question, Chair, that you raised was around the issue of the impact of the training that we've been providing for our lecturers. I must say, Chair, it's probably too early to be able to measure at the moment. But we should probably, after the one academic year calendar, we should be able to tell the results, having measured where we were previously and where we are. And I think the point you are raising, Chair, it also probably triggers something on our side to say perhaps this needs to be a study that has to be conducted to be able to measure the impact of this intervention that have been put in place. But I think in the next report we should be able, next academic year, we should be able to see if there has been any changes after this intervention was put in place. The other point, question, Chair, that you raised was around the consideration of COVID-19 in terms of remote learning. The type of training that we are providing to our lecturing staff, whether it also incorporates that. Some of these programs, Chair and honourable members, were developed and conceptualized just before we were hit by COVID-19. We take that into account, but we have ensured that each and every one of these programs, we have infused technology or digital skills in the pedagogy or the programs that we have now developed. But we are also looking at developing, Chair, probably an ICT competency framework for TVET lecturers, so that whatever training that they do in future, at least we have infused digital skills to make them more relevant and also being adaptable to the 4IR impact. So that is being addressed in terms of that. We also have, on that note, the assistance of an intervention that came through Huawei, who are also helping us in terms of assisting our lecturers in developing these required digital skills. I think the other matters that you raised was around the revised funding model, and I hope that the colleagues will also respond on that. But the main question that you raised was around the issue of redress and also the disparities in terms of allocation for TVETs versus allocation for universities. I think, Chair and honourable members, one of the elephants in the room is this issue of the inverted pyramid, but also aligning that to our NDP targets to say, how do we begin as a country to start investing more on TVET education as opposed to universities. I think the revised funding model is actually trying to address such issues, but I'm sure once it's finalized, because I'm talking about the draft now, once it's finalized, I'm sure it will be able to highlight those areas which have been, causing some serious gaps in terms of the funding of the TVET sector. As we speak, Honourable Chair, we are facing a challenge with the stakeholders in relation to the spending of the 60-40 transport and accommodation allowances, which the majority of the colleges, out of 50, perhaps only 18 are compliant at the moment. The majority have gone beyond that split, and something that also relates to the issue of the inadequate funding within the TVET set.
I didn't catch that.
The one
can you try again?
An issue that you raised also around the entrepreneurial hubs. There is a program that we are currently running, Chair, in terms of establishing entrepreneurial hubs within the TVET. Although it's at the moment focusing on students that have acquired, your technical skills, we are then assisted in terms of this. We have one of the CETAs that have come on board, specifically Met CETA, that is trying to assist us in the automotive industry to establish young entrepreneurs coming from TVET with necessary skills in that area. The other one was also on the why was there a lack of staff support in the lecturer development. I think it is a unit. I'm sure my colleague DDG Mbogo Baba will also touch on this area because it falls under a unit that maybe should probably touch on this one. But it's an area or unit that is fairly new, and I'm sure as we move forward it will be adequately staffed as well, because it's also very, very critical in addressing some of the challenges that we have. Chair, I will probably be requesting your permission that we are able to submit the latest in terms of the distribution of laptops, as this is actually executed by NSFAS, but we can always request a report and an updated report, as it is happening almost on a daily basis, that we can be able to furnish the committee in terms of how far we have gone in the distribution of laptops. There was an issue around how many institutions could have been affected by the recent unrest. In KZN in particular, not too many. I think only two that were reported to have been affected. And in those ones, I think there was the looting of computers in two of the institutions. But other than that, there were no major incidents. Also, in terms of students who were remaining in student residences, there were no major incidents that were reported along those lines. But the point that you raised, in as far as the issue of work placement for our students, It is indeed an opportunity ours to actually engage with those people that are involved in the maintenance and repairs of those properties that were damaged, because it could actually be an opportunity for our students to be able to gain experiential work. The other matter that was raised by Honorable Mananiso is around the spend on CIG. We are seeing some significant progress, Chair, in terms of that. I think it related to the systems that were used by the TVET colleges, but also capacity, which I think the department has tried to build within the TVET institutions to make sure that there is progress in relation, particularly in the area of maintenance of our existing infrastructure. I think, Chair, I hope I covered all those areas that are touching on the TVET. One area which Honorable Mananiso said will probably have to provide a report was around the issue of the MTSF enrollment targets in terms of funded students, how many were enrolled, how many were funded, that we should be able to provide such a detailed report. The last one, Chair and members, was raised by Honorable Boshoff. Just to inform the House that we haven't received any formal submission either from the management of the college or from the council about the closing of one of their campuses, but we will follow up this matter with our regional offices if there is indeed such a move that has been planned. But as far as we are concerned as a branch, nothing formal has been brought to our attention. Attention to date. Thank you, Chair, and thanks to the team for the opportunity.
Perhaps I must also, Chair, take this opportunity to greet everyone, as well as thank DDG Gasa for having navigated through this very important meeting of the Portfolio Committee. Honorable Mkwacho was raising an issue of interdepartmental consultation, especially between the Department of Higher Education and Training, together with the Department of Science and Innovation. And I must say the nature of the skill strategy itself is forces us to work with almost everybody. If we look, for example, into areas such as infrastructure investment and delivery, industrialization through globalization, energy security, and support for the recovery and growth of the tourism, green economy interventions, agriculture and food security, as well as mass public employment, including the presidential youth employment intervention. So when we started with this, because it was then honorable members immediately after the president announced the economic reconstruction recovery plan, that was on the 15th October 2020. So as the department, then thereafter we met amongst ourselves. And then also DSI, I know that most of the engagements were also having in our joint ministerial management meetings between the two departments chaired by the minister. And then we've established then a working group that was since November 2020. The working group basically is involving every branch in the department, as well as the DSI is part of the working group. I must say the working group has been meeting quite very regularly. In some instances, in each and every second week, because we are still in the process of finalizing the skill strategy itself. And I must say, like as DDG Gasa was saying, it has been an experience, because the nature of the skill strategy is demand-led. So by implication, it means we must work with almost everybody. And I can tell you, Chair, and the honorable members of the committee, that we have almost met with all lead departments, whether it's the National Department of Tourism, Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, Communications and Digital Technology, Employment and Labor, Minerals, Resources and Energy, Public Works and Infrastructure, Trade, Industry and Competition. So we are in constant engagement. The press member must also indicate to show how inclusive is the approach that we are following in the development of the skill strategies. Is that we are currently at NetLec. We started that process in March 2021. That was after, of course, we have gone to the cabinet level that was set on the 29th January 2021. And we have met with all CETAs, we have met with almost all entities of the department in terms of ensuring that everyone, by everyone I mean everyone, is part of the process. And now at NetLec we are still there. I must mention this. We are meeting on the 7th. I just said now, Honorable Chairperson, that on the 7th we are going to be called to the portfolio committee. And then we shall see how then we can meet the competing needs coming to the portfolio committee as well as meeting at NetLec, because that will be a critical engagement at NetLec with regard to the skill strategy itself. Perhaps I can, if I don't want then therefore Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members to rehearse our presentation that is coming to you as we'll be meeting with you. As you'll see, Honorable Chairperson, in our strategy, we have got 10 interventions. And those interventions that we have identified there, they are, as I said, compelling. It's mandatory. Normally, legally, they use the language called peremptory. So it means then, therefore, it's a matter of must that you must get everybody on board. So those 10 interventions, they do have their own actions. Under each and every intervention, there is action. And in those actions, as you'll be going through at your own time, with the presentation that you'll be getting through, you'll see that almost everybody, whether it's the presidency, the project management office in the presidency, is also part of this process. So it's the work that we... we're really looking forward to, Chair, and I must make this indication. I know when we're at NetLec at some point, especially the business, was saying we must not implement the skill strategy up until we conclude engagements at NetLec, and we've made it quite very clear that we cannot wait for all the processes, the engagements, for us to implement the skill strategy. Because already we have identified about 93 occupations, and those occupations we have mapped them into qualifications. And therefore, already our institutions, whether it's universities, STEVET colleges, as well as our cities, as well as our CETAs, everyone is working very hard to ensure that we are meeting these occupations that have been identified already. And we have just concluded another process whereby we have now done the validation of those occupations. I should think we have now about 103 of those occupations that we have identified, which are occupations that are priority to all of us, especially the post-school education and training system. But then, of course, when we present, we'll submit as well, that we are always also quite very careful in saying this is not a finite process, whereby you say if you say it's 93 occupation, then it's case closed, then you know you'll never have any other occupation, because there are occupations that are emerging as the time moves on. So we're saying those are the occupations we've identified, and we've been meeting, as I mentioned earlier on, with all other social partners, so that we can test as to whether the occupations, the qualifications that we have identified, were really speaking to the demand, as we are saying that critically to the skill strategies, the question of demand-led intervention. It's not a supply-led, though I must also indicate, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, that we cannot guarantee, of course, anyone a job post-training. But what we are saying, if you look into all those areas, whether it's energy security, it's agriculture and food security, it's green economy and so on, there are opportunities which have already been identified in terms of the economic reconstruction and recovery plan. So it's placing then therefore a young person into an opportune time when these opportunities are coming through so that they can really grab them. Honorable Chair, I must just quickly then leave this point because I said I don't want to do a dry run or rehearse the presentation that we'll be doing when we get into the portfolio committee in 2 weeks' time or so. Honorable Manani so is raising a very important point. That's the point about communication, which is quite very critical for all of us. And as you think we have learned during this COVID trajectory period, that communication is quite very critical. And
hello.
So is business as usual. I thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I thank you, DDT Gasa, and I thank Honorable Members of the Committee and also my esteemed colleagues.
Thank you so much, colleagues. Please, Chairperson, through you, may I please ask DDG Patel to please come in very briefly in terms of the interface between the two DDGs, the two departments, and then DDG CET will come in, followed by DDG Mbobo and Mr. Fazer. Thank you. Kindly. Did you tell?
Ms. Gasa, we don't seem to see him on the platform. I don't see him on the platform. I think you can move on to the next colleague.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DDG Gasa. Chairperson, DDG Mbobo, I will be responding to questions on Program 1. The first one is a question on the vacancies, Chairperson. There was a question on the, I think it was saying how many vacancies are there in the department. Our vacancy rate, Chairperson, at the time when we were reporting was at 9.5%. And it was slightly below the target of 10%. If I were to give numbers, our total establishment is 28,620, and then we had around 26,000 posts that were filled in that particular quarter. But in quarter four, Chair, I want to report that we advertised around 213 vacancies. We also filled 19 vacancies in the, you know, during that period. And we are in the process of filling these vacancies in earnest. Chairperson, there was a question on the occupation of vacancies. I didn't get the question quite clearly. I would need to be assisted, Chairperson, by the Honorable Member. But she was asking who is occupying or when will the vacancies be occupied. I wasn't sure. However, if I may assist, we're talking of the head office vacancies, we're talking of the regional offices, as well as the management post in colleges. All of those are filled by the department. The rest of the lecturing post and support staff in colleges, the colleges are responsible for filling those ones. The second question was around the presiding officers, and the question was the reasons why the presiding officers withdrew. Chairperson, we're talking of three presiding officers here, that is now three cases, and the reasons would be, for instance, when an official is transferring to another department, and the one particular case, the case was referred from an internal case to a pre-arbitration phase, and the chairperson then had to withdraw from that particular case. We don't have the reason for the third one. It was a college post case that we, the third one was at a college level. However, we do replace them immediately as they request to be recused from the cases. In regard to performance agreements, Chairperson, we are bound by the code in terms of the disciplinary cases. And in our letters of appointment, we do give chairpersons the time frame at which the cases must be resolved. However, this issue is not only dependent on the chairperson. You would have the member or the staff member that has been charged also not showing or giving reasons why they cannot attend a hearing, or you will get the representative of an official not, asking for a postponement. So the reasons would vary from the chairperson himself to the employee not showing or producing medical, or sick notes, and therefore the cases have to be postponed. But I must say that in the previous year, we were also affected by the lockdown, chairperson, as well as issues of social distancing. And it took time, I think, for the councils to set up processes and systems for, cases to be heard virtually. But as for now, we are able to operate, through virtual platforms. Most of our cases, we no longer have to meet virtually, and we are moving in that regard. In regard to monitoring, Chairperson, we do monitor, as we are also required to report to the Public Service Commission. We also report to FOSAT, the FOSAT committee, as well as DPSA is also monitoring us in regard to a PESAL, because we have to capture these cases on PESAL. So we do monitor, and we do submit those monthly and quarterly reports. However, at times the reasons will really take us into beyond the unit, the labor relations unit. There's a question, Chairperson, on vaccination, whether we know how many employees have been vaccinated. Chair, I will be very honest here, because the issue of vaccination is a private matter, so to say. And we encourage our staff to register when they have vaccinated, but so far we haven't actually had people coming and registering that we have vaccinated. But we do encourage our staff to go for vaccination. We took part in the PSET drive for vaccination. We were even transporting our own employees to the vaccination point. And we are in the process of working with them to also have on-site vaccination within the department. But Chair, I'm sure you are aware that there was a big drive that was the minister's drive for the entire sector with the support of Higher Health, and the turnout was very, very high in that regard. And I'm referring to the entire PSET sector. The second last question, Chair, is on irregular expenditure. I will only deal here with the cases that get referred to labor relations, because the finance would refer cases to internal audit, and internal audit will then assess if that case really warrants us to refer it, you know, for investigations, be it forensic investigation or any other form of an investigation. In the court that we were reporting on, Jefferson, we had four cases on irregular expenditure. And all four cases related to supply chain management, wherein officials did not comply with the supply chain management processes. So as and when the cases are referred to internal audit, we will then start the processes of the preferring charges against those officials. The last question, Chair, I would deal with is around lecturer development. There is a report that there is no capacity in the directorate. Indeed, Chairperson, this is a fairly new directorate in our organizational structure, which we didn't have, over the years. And currently, we are in the process of filling six positions in that particular component. We've been having the director and the deputy director who was seconded from a college. So we are adding now additional capacity to the section. On the filling of the DDG University, Chairperson, I can just say that the post was advertised and the process of filling the vacancy has started, subject, of course, to cabinet processes. Chair, I will not be able to comment on the DG. However, the DG post was also advertised in the first quarter of around May, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe the processes of filling the position are on course as the DG's contract is ending on the 6th of September. I won't be able, the leader of the delegation also, I don't think she'll be able to comment on the issue of the DG and you know, because that belongs to the minister. Chairperson, I think that's what I had to respond to. There was a request that we must submit a table with the, I think there's a table on irregular cases. We will submit such a report as well as on the presiding officers without, you know, divulging the information in terms of the POPI Act. We are going to submit such a report, a summary report on cases where presiding officers, you know, had withdrawn. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you, DDG Kasa.
Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. If I may come in as the next respondent, my name is Thembi Safuchane. I am the DDG for CET. I will quickly provide the responses in terms of the questions and comments that have been raised. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, let me start by thanking you for the warm welcome. Thank you very much. It is much appreciated. Also, I would like to say good afternoon to my colleagues and our leader of the delegation, UDDJ Gaza. In terms of the digital skills program, a concern has been noted regarding the fact that the target was not approved. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, let me indicate that we are making now progress in regard to ensuring that we do get the DG approval in relation to this digital skills program. I think it was raised by the Honourable Chair. In this regard, I would also like Honourable Chair and Honourable Members for you to note that whilst we are working on the paperwork for the DG approval, we have commenced with the pilot of the program, for which also is going to constitute part of the paperwork regarding the DG approval. The pilot is currently implemented in the Eastern Cape CET College. It started in 2020, and it is envisaged to end in the first quarter of 2022. Currently in this program, there are 30 students. The view in relation to the pilot of this program is to take lessons, and so that before it can be taken to scale, we can be sure that if there are any gaps in terms of its implementation, those gaps are filled so that we don't take it to scale, not having dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. However, we do note the concern, and we will in due course provide the DG approval as indicated in our target. Honourable Mananiso has indicated that is appreciative, and this was a comment in terms of the approval of the CT advocacy strategy. And we thank the Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee for their recommendation in terms of the development of the CET advocacy strategy, which has now subsequently been approved. Our focus now as a CET branch is on the implementation of the strategy. As requested, we will make sure that we share the strategy through the relevant channels. And lastly, there was a comment from Honourable Boshoff. Honourable Boshoff showed concern in relation to the slow progress on CET work. I wish to indicate, Honourable Chair, to Honourable Boshoff and all the Honourable Members, that we note their concern, and we are working on improving our plans and improving our implementation to make sure that we expedite, especially the critical work areas that need urgent focus. And hopefully with the next reporting, we will be able to provide a better report progress in that regard. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members.
Did you should I come in? Okay, my dear.
I think you can continue with some Diva.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, DG. Good afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Rainer Ngima. I am currently acting as the Chief Director responsible for Policy Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. I'll be responding to one question. I think it was raised by the Honourable Chair in respect to the strategy for expanding online learning in PSET, and you wanted to know what does it entail. So I think first of all, one needs to just indicate that this strategy is in response to the need for online, for multi-modal and blended mode of delivery across the system. And members would also recall that when we presented the strat plan as well as the APP, we from that point acknowledged that for us to deliver on this commitment, particularly the strategy itself, we needed to acknowledge that the whole intention would involve, you know, a number of things required for this to be realized. One, that would also include building capacity within the system, including e-learning, material development, including the support systems required for such to be implemented. And that would also involve, you know, making sure that there is requisite infrastructure in terms of ICT. So the strategy that has been developed seeks to create an educational network that will do four things quickly. First, to enable free access through any PSET institution and other networks such as metro rings in most major cities. Secondly, it also seeks to provide free access to students and staff of all listed institutions, so as to be able to use the educational network. And lastly, it is meant to be cost effective. Therefore, the strategy is already talking to the modalities in terms of providing cost-effective communication services to those that will be using it, students in particular, but also lecturing and teaching staff, including access to internet, voice over internet protocol, what is normally called VoIP, to name by a few. And this, the intention is to implement this in phases, beginning with making sure that we establish a cross-sectoral or cross-sectoral teams to ensure that there is the requisite planning and the plans around how that is going to be implemented is actually done. So there are three phases that have been identified. First, the first phase is what I've just indicated now. The second and up to the third phase, which will be fully blown implementation. But Chair, I think you are welcome to ask for a report on this, a proper report, and we are also available if need be to provide a comprehensive response in terms of what the strategy entails. But in a nutshell, that's what it takes to do. Thank you very much.
Is that all? Are those all the colleagues who you would have liked to contribute, Ms. Gasa?
Okay.
Chairperson, I think we have taken way too much of your time. The only person I feel that I have not given a chance to speak is Mr. Faisal, and perhaps and also the person from the office of the chair of the DG. With your indulgence, Chair and honourable members, perhaps if we could be allowed to. Maybe we could be given a time for when we could submit in writing questions that we have not answered. I know that we have not given responses in terms of infrastructure and also in terms of finances. Perhaps not elaborated enough in terms of GBVF, and perhaps we will be guided for you. We want to thank you with humility for the time that we have been given. Thank you ever so much. I don't know, Faisal, if you would like to make a word or two, but I really do think we have taken enough time of the honorable members. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Kikasa, I'd like to propose as follows. I'd like to propose that if possible, if colleagues could make their contributions, because there are also questions that we need to ask with regard to the CET Act and the limitations that the Minister had with regards to, if you just give me 1 second, there is an intervention I think that the department and the minister tried to make that could not be enacted, because just trying to find my notes. Give me 1 second. I think I'll find it in okay. Apologies for the delay.
No problem.
Alright, so with regards to the target to have the draft governance standards and regulations for TVET college councils approved by the DG, that's not being achieved. Then the department saying that the state legal advisor advised that the draft governance standards and regulations not be promulgated as a regulation, could not be promulgated as a regulation. So there were questions that we had with regards to that, considering, if it was because the minister did not have the powers in terms
for the CET Act to develop those regulations? Mm. And if that is the case, how is the voluntary document going to enforce compliance because it is voluntary? And if you're of the view that the CET Act in its current form is not adequate to strengthen governance and management in the TVET and CET sectors. So there are just a number of questions we had with regards to that particular target not being met for the reason given by the department in the presentation. And we would have loved to delve more into those particular matters, but perhaps I think if we could, I'm just taking into consideration that members have to be in the house at 3 o'clock and some members may need travel time to the precinct. So those questions that we had, and I'd like to ask or propose that we will send those questions in writing. Okay. And we will request that they be responded to in writing. But I would like for us to wrap up neatly on the questions that had come up in the first round. Perhaps we can spare an additional 5 or so minutes, and then we can wrap up our meeting. But as you said, I think there are many conversations that are coming out of this afternoon's or this morning's engagement that do need more extensive engagement. And I think also just the constituency period being as long as it was has really created a scenario where we're really catching up again and re-synergizing, I guess. So I'll just allow yourselves to wrap up with the colleagues that you did need to wrap up with, and then, I don't know, 5 or so minutes, and then we'll close the meeting. Thank you, Ms. Gus. Then everything else that matters, and I think we will liaise to yourselves in writing, and you will respond then in writing as well.
Yes. May I please just make maybe not so much Chair and honourable members in direct response to what you just said. If we could receive the direct ones that the Chair and honourable members referred to, we would so much appreciate. And I, from the lead of the delegation, I know that there are some that I did not respond to, I would really appreciate the opportunity to also be able to respond to directly. I know, for example, I did not have the opportunity to respond to. I would like to have the opportunity to respond to directly to the infrastructure ones, and I appreciate DDG Mbobo responding directly to the vaccination ones. I would also like the opportunity to respond to the work that the minister has responded to and directed us to the presidential stimulus package ones and the vaccination ones, and I would also like the opportunity to respond to the Imbali precinct ones that the chair responded to ones, and also the Afghanistan ones. So thank you, Chair, for the guidance, and maybe let's reiterate how we could ensure that we really respond appropriately and ensure that all the questions that have been raised we respond to directly. Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Gasa, are you then saying you will not be handing over to
to CET, DDG, and TVET?
You said I think you were handing over to Faisal, and I don't know who else.
Oh, yes. Let me allow Faisal. Would you please, may I hand over to you? I had given you the opportunity to apologies for that, Mr. Tofi.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members.
Sorry for
I think the questions. questions that was raised regarding to the vacancies, I think, has been adequately responded to by DGT Mbobo. So I think all those questions have been covered from that side. Thank you.
Mustafa, your mic is still off. Apologies.
Fine, yeah, yeah.
Yes, you were saying?
I was off.
All right. I was saying that there were specific ones, Chair, that you had said that you would like for us to be able to use the 5 minutes to respond to before you go to the precinct directly. I'm sorry, I missed that a little bit.
Okay, no, it's fine. If there aren't any questions that you think you'd prefer to respond to now, before we close the meeting, then I think it's only in order that the remaining outstanding questions that we had be responded to in writing. So if there's anything you'd like to respond to now and properly close your presentation, then you can go ahead and do so. If not, it's fine. We can close the meeting and then we'll liaise for the written responses then to be sent to the PC.
All right. So maybe there's one, Chair, that I would like to, if I may. Yes, just for a minute or so, if that's all right. There is one that we opened up to, and perhaps 5 minutes would not be adequate. When the Chair made the opening remarks, there was the request that the department at some point does address the portfolio committee in a detailed way about its response to the gender-based violence and femicide. I would like to call, if I may, a pandemic. And so perhaps we could be guided as to how we could respond to that, and maybe we could be guided as to how we could come back to that. And I believe that much as we might have responded briefly to the vaccination issue, I believe that we might not have delved enough to that. And I believe that that's also something that we could also come back to. And thirdly, the infrastructure issues and what we have articulated before is also one that we should also come back to and address the portfolio committee too. And then lastly, as I mentioned earlier on, is an appreciation for the extent to which we have been engaged on and the guidance and the engagement that we have been addressed on. And lastly, I also do believe that it is perhaps a shortage that Dr. Lewin is not around with us today, and that we ran out of time. I could have also responded to questions pertaining to her, because we do work quite closely with her from an infrastructure perspective. I did not have the opportunity to respond to questions that were raised about her, and I would have appreciated the opportunity had we had time to respond to that. So thank you, Chairperson.
Okay.
And maybe those are the issues I would like to respond to. I hope that that's all right.
Okay, thank you so much, Ms. Gasa, and thank you so much to all the colleagues from the department for responding to the many questions and clarities and remarks that were shared by members this afternoon. Also, thank you very much to all members for your contributions to the conversation as we engaged with
the quarter four, the fourth quarter and first quarter performance report. We really appreciate the participation of members. And I think it's very clear that there's a lot of work that we need to do with regards to the sector at large. I think there are many recommendations that have come out of the deliberations of members. But also, I think let's not forget to send through the questions, the outstanding questions that members had, and then also await the responses in written format from the department. We also look forward, this meeting must note that we look forward to having a political engagement with the political head of the department at a later stage when they are available. And of course, NASPERS will be coming to the portfolio committee mid-September. And they will also give us their updates with regards to, various funding challenges in the sector, including updates on the laptops. So that also came out in our meeting. I mean, I think other matters also will be addressed within the program of the portfolio committee. But we really appreciate everyone's contributions, and I think we can close the meeting. Thank you so much, and good afternoon to everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, honorable members.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.